The scripture today is Matthew 17, 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here if you wish. I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Let us pray together. Living and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your holy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Greek mythology, Pandora is the first woman created by the gods. She is beautiful, she is nurturing, she is intelligent, and her very name means something like all-knowing or all-giving or all-bearing. In a variation of what we often refer to as the fall in the Christian narrative, Pandora succumbs to the temptation of a beautiful jar. Now, later on in the 16th century, somebody mistranslated that jar and it's been now referred to as Pandora's box. But Pandora succumbs to the temptation of a beautiful jar or box or some sort of container. And the jar is clearly marked by the gods, "Do not open." But like the tree at the center of the Garden of Eden, the temptation is too great. After all, the jar is beautiful, and what could possibly be in it that the gods would not want her to see? Her curiosity gets the best of her. Now, like anything in life, if somebody says, "Don't open that," or "Don't go near that," or "Don't talk about that," Pandora opened the jar, a seemingly insignificant and innocent act. And when she opened this jar, this box, it was death and all kinds of evil released into the world. Greed, violence, jealousy, you name it, its spirit was released from this jar. Now, the story says that before that had happened, everything was just okay. There was no violence, there was no greed, there was no death, everything was fine. But it was Pandora who unleashed all of that greed and violence and jealousy. Somehow, that Pandora's box. Recently, I was having a conversation with a friend about the state of the world, waxing on about how we might make it a better place. And we shared the frustration that every time you seem to check the news or talk to a friend, there seems to be this bottomless pit of fear and despair. "Did you hear what had happened? Can it get any worse? I think the end of the world is coming near." It goes on and on and on. My cell phone has become kind of a literal 21st century Pandora's box. And every time I open it up, it unleashes all kinds of evil into the world. It unleashes all those reminders to tell me to be fearful and to be angry, and I can't seem to close the lid on the phone. And my phone actually quite literally has a lid that I have to close, but it opens it up every time. The story today we read about the transfiguration is there's a few things happening in that story. One, Jesus is up on the mountain and he encounters these great heroes of the Hebrew faith. What is happening in that story is that Jesus is connecting with the old story with the new story. But there's another thing that happens in this story between the connections between Moses and Elijah and Jesus. What catches me always in this story is Peter's response. In both Matthew and in Luke's gospel, he says, let's stay here. This is amazing. Let me build a shelter and let's build some memorials to memorialize how great this place is. And why wouldn't he want Jesus to stay in that place? Because 8 days before this, as we begin reading this story, 8 days before, Jesus predicts his own death. He's telling the people, these new disciples of Jesus, that yes, everything's great and we've launched this new movement, but I'm about to die. So naturally, Peter would want him to stay in that space. As one of my favorite children's books says, he wants to take that moment and put it in his pocket and keep it forever. Human nature is for us to want to hold on to these moments, to live in these moments, to long for these moments. But nothing ever stays the same. Nothing is ever what it once was or the way it once was. Life always changes. The kids always grow up. We always get older. It's always more difficult to get out of bed in the morning as we age. There's no fountain of youth. There's no elixir of mortality. There's no pause or rewind button. But if we go back to that story of Pandora, try as she made, she tried so hard to close the lid on that box or put the cap back on the jar, whatever the case may be. But as she was doing that, she found at the very bottom of the box, there was one spirit left. And that was the spirit of hope. That was the spirit of hope and optimism and expectation. As we have opened this kind of literal and figurative Pandora's box around us, we see that the world we live in is incredibly complex, incredibly difficult. But perhaps the opening of that box has opened our eyes to that difficulty and the complexity of the world. Perhaps our eyes have been opened to the racism and the sexism and the nationalism and the other isms that's in us and around us, and that we must find a way to resist and restore. Perhaps maybe this has opened our eyes to the pain and suffering, and as try as we'd like, there is no going back to the status quo. Although, if I'm completely honest, there's something to ignorance's bliss that is so tempting, to put the lid back on the box. But there's no stuffing those things back. But one thing remains, and that is hope. In Romans chapter 5, there's one of my favorite scripture verses. It says, we can rejoice when we suffer, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance develops into character, and character develops into hope. For we know how much God loves us, because the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with love. At the end of that story of the Transfiguration, we find Jesus and some of his disciples are gathered with him. And there's this miraculous thing that happens, and what Jesus says to them as they're departing, he says, don't tell anyone about this. And of course, just in true fashion, every time he says that, they go and tell the world. They go and tell everyone the story of God. The Transfiguration reminds us of the connection between Jesus and the Hebrew story. It reminds us of the impermanence of life, but it reminds us of the hope in life. Even in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of this, because suffering produces endurance. Endurance develops into character, and character develops into hope. For we know how much God loves us, because the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with that love. Amen. Let's pray together. Living and loving God, we live in a complex time. We live in a complex world, and instead of hiding away, instead of running away, we open our hearts and our minds to that complexity, to see how we, as the hands and feet and heart of Christ in our world, might be agents of change, transformation, and salvation. For it's in your many names that we gather, that we pray, and we seek to live. Amen.